B-Pod Studios.
All right, Bob. As a kicker to a serious story we're about to get into, we'll have you release the number of movies that you've seen. Jamie set the line. What was it?
Do I have to release? I want people to guess. I want somebody to get it. Do we have a gift to give away? Do we have a prize?
No, God, no.
I got a T-shirt. I can give away a T-shirt.
What do you got?
The other day when we had 76 day.
Oh, you got a shirt.
Well, I went to the guys that were outside in the tent. And this is legit. Okay. And I said, are you guys okay? Do you need some water or anything? Because it was hot.
Very nice.
I don't know if people take care of those guys. And they're throwing T-shirts, working up an appetite to sweat, whatever. And I said, you guys want water or anything? I'll go back inside, get you whatever.
Very nice.
And they said, no, we're good. And then they threw a T-shirt in my car saying, here, give it to one of your kids. And I was like, oh, okay. So I have a T-shirt to give away. If somebody can get the number, and I have it here on my notepad circled, the number of the 50 movies that I have seen.
Okay.
All now, right. Jamie set the line, and you set the line at 10 and a half?
Jamie set the line at 10. Was it 10 and a half?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. Now, you have told me. So
I was wrong.
I abstained.
Totally, not even close. I was wrong. Said to you, I think I saw like such and such of them. I was way off.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where that number came from.
Why would you start the day with lying to me, Bob?
Well, I was home alone last night. Donna went down the shore.
Yes.
So a cousin came over. Maybe some beverages were had. So I don't know. I might have been a little hazy when you asked me this morning. But now that I am clear-minded.
What, it's 7:01?
Yeah.
You sobered up?
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I have the exact number. And I wasn't even close to the number I told you earlier.
But, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah.
I'm not.
So your mind's in a kerfuffle.
My mind's in a pretzel, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to pull up the exact, because now that the game has changed, I want to make sure I have the right description of this list here. So Bobby Belt, who is a producer for the NFL Network, he put out a list that I just lost. Damn it! And basically, the list is the amount of movies on IMDb that have been searched the most, reviewed the most. Like people have looked these movies up more than anything, all right? The top 50 movies on IMDb. Now, some of them go back to the 70s. Some of them are obviously more recent than that. Top 50 movies. And this is the amount of movies that you have seen of the 50.
Yeah, and it's on our 97.5 Mornings Twitter account
We've put it out as well.
Now,
So we'll have people, you can guess what that also brings some fine sports conversation also. This is the oddest story of 2020. And maybe if I told you on New Year's Day when I was revealing to you what would happen in the year 2020, maybe the only one that would compete would be, global pandemic.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
You think about the stories from this year. All right, just to recap, the Astros cheating, Kobe.
Yeah.
All right. R.I.P. Kobe. Murder Hornets. Remember those for a second? No? Okay.
Wait, hold on.
You don't remember the Murder Hornets? That was like a hot button issue for like
weeks. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I totally blanked.
Okay.
Gotcha, yes.
World War III. People talked about that for a hot minute.
Right.
The pandemic, obviously. Protests, obviously. If I would have told you all those and then this, that DeSean Jackson would use a bogus Hitler quote in an attempt to uplift his people, all right? Stand by that quote. And then only, 5 days later, Jeffrey Lurie and his production company come out with the announcement that they are going to make a movie, a documentary entitled The Meaning of Hitler, which examines the popularity of Adolf Hitler in the United States. What would be the story you wouldn't believe out of all those? In all honesty, 5 days later, DeSean Jackson comes out the posts on social media, stands by them, tries to clarify them, doesn't do a good job, likes a post that says he shouldn't have had to apologize anyway, and then Jeffrey Lurie comes out with a documentary that says that is entitled The Meaning of Hitler. If I would have told you that story on January 1st, 2020, that probably is the one that you wouldn't believe out of all of them.
Yeah, very well.
Hell are the odds?
I saw that yesterday and I was like, this has to be a joke, right? I think we all had the same reaction. This has to be a joke, right?
I'm still in the school of not joking about Hitler ever, but I understand.
Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
And he's the executive producer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's his company.
Yeah. Play action films or something like
that? Yeah. I sometimes think we're living in a simulation, like Truman Show.
I do love the conspiracy theories that have come out about 2020 in general.
Yeah, and I just feel like this was a Truman Show experience. Like, what? Are we being watched? Are we being filmed?
I don't know why you would think that, especially as I sit for my Temple University thermos.
Yeah, that's
tasty.
That's probably the strangest one. Show, yeah. Hey, good job.
Yeah. Like, in all honesty, if I would have told you, like, there's a pandemic that's going to shut down the world for a hot minute and we're not going to handle it well, you might be like, I could see it. I could see it. But if I told you in the same week that these two stories would come out, you're like, nope, impossible. And by the way, really not related. I know people want to go off the deep end with some conspiracy theories, but that's just stupid. Like, I'm not even going to entertain it. But for these stories to come out in the same week is the most unbelievable thing that I think has happened in the entire 2020 season, 2020 year. Like, I know everything else that's happened has been terrible. I'm not ranking the stories in terms of awfulness. I'm ranking the stories in terms of oddity. And this is the oddest of all of them to come out so far this year. And I looked at it and I went, if there was ever going to be a year for this to happen, it would be 2020. And you make a comparison as to, like, if we're living in the Truman Show, I feel like we're living in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is the demented version of Truman Show. Like, things weren't spicy enough, so they're like, let me just pull on all these strings and see what happens when I shake up the world.
Now, I read a story. I think it was Deadline.com that put out a story about this movie, The Meaning of Hitler, by Jeffrey Lurie's production company. And they interview Jeffrey Lurie. And the story came out yesterday, which I think is how Adam Schefter talked to somebody behind the scenes, probably did, and he released it, and that's where most people found out about it, and I heard them talking about it on Mike's show yesterday. But Jeffrey Lurie's interviewed in the story, and I don't know when he was interviewed, all I know is the story came out yesterday. And in the story, he says, the rise of white supremacy and neo-fascism in the United States and the world over are among the most important serious threats we face today. Quote from Jeffrey Lurie. And that's the guy that has to deal with DeSean Jackson.
Coincidence?
That he said that?
No. That it came out yesterday?
The story in general? So you think the publication was like, oh, hey, we're sitting on this story, no better time like the present, and released it?
I don't know. That's good marketing by them if they did. Strike while the iron's hot, obviously.
If I'm Deadline.com, this is the time I release the story.
Sure.
Because, again, I don't know when he did the interview.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have done the interview a month ago, and they're like, oh, well, now's the time to release it.
And my first thought went to, how does Jeffrey Lurie feel that this has come out at this time?
Right.
Good. In that, like, hey, you know, if I take action, you people will understand. I just got done doing a movie about the atrocities of Hitler.
Well, is the movie made yet, or is it in the
I got the feeling that it was. The way I read it, I thought it was pretty much wrapped up and it's coming soon.
No, it is, because The Meaning of Hitler uses the title of the best-selling book from 1978 to put a provocative spotlight on our culture's fascination with Adolf Hitler and Nazism as it sets itself against the backdrop of the current rise of white supremacy, the normalization of anti-Semitism, and the weaponization of history itself.
Wow. Yeah,
filmed in 9 countries over 3 years, the film traces Hitler's movements, his rise to power, and scenes of his crimes.
You're right. I mean, odd isn't even a good enough word, Mark.
There's
right?
no story that's been crazier ever than this.
Wow,
absolutely insane.
Wow.
I still, when I heard it yesterday, I was like, yeah, that's a very 2020 story. Like, in 2020, if I was going to believe anything, this would be the year to believe.
Yeah, because my first two words were, no way. And then it's like, well, here I am sitting home alone because I can't, you know, you want to, why not? Why not this, too? Just put it on the, you know, put it in the pile of 2020 crap.
I was looking for, like, we sat down with Jeffrey Lurie on Tuesday. You know, I was looking for something like that, and that's not in the story. So I don't know when he was interviewed. All I know is that quote is in there, and this is shortly after... obviously, everything going on with the Eagles, DeSean Jackson, and Adolf Hitler. Happy 2020, folks.
Yeah.
Bob, you want people to guess the amount of movies that you have seen on this list of 50.
And they can also guess what movies I've seen. Because,
I have seen, all but, like, if I'm being strictly honest with myself, like, I've seen all of Pulp Fiction, but I haven't sat down and watched it all the way through. Like, I have definitely watched it at the different pickup points, and I've told you before, Pulp Fiction is the type of movie that I look at, and I, for like the first like 10 times I try to watch it all the way through, I have to get a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
like,
once it gets to that scene,
like,
you
they talk about, like, first off, they talk about the Royale with cheese. They talk about the Big Kahuna Burger. They talk about the $5 shake, and they get the close-up of the burger in the 50s restaurant they go into with Steve Buscemi's the waiter as Buddy Holly, right? And they do the dancing and all that. Like, I'm just like, I got to get a milkshake and a burger. Like, I can't avoid that. So, yeah. I've seen all the movie. I just haven't sat down and watched the whole thing. So I guess that still counts.
Yeah, that counts. I'll give you that.
So six movies on this list. And it does include The Usual Suspects, which I've seen most of. Iron Man. I've never seen WALL-E. That had no appeal to me whatsoever. Jamie, you apparently love that movie.
Yeah, that movie was ahead of its time.
Avatar and Green Mile.
Classic.
Okay.
I've seen... Should I reveal how many I've seen?
Okay. I've seen all but six of the 50. What have you seen?
I've seen all 50. Which surprised me, because when I saw a list of 50 movies, I went, oh, I've probably seen like 40 of them. But they are the most quote-unquote watcher common movies people have seen. So, yeah, I'd seen all 50.
Have you seen any of them touchy? Like, any like, oh, I'm not sure if I saw all of that one.
Like, The Professional I saw when I was young. So, like, I haven't seen it in 2+ decades.
That's has one of my favorite lines ever. And it's not even the line itself. It's the way it's delivered by Gary Oldman.
It's a great acting in that movie.
Oh, yeah. My two favorite lines from that movie, John Wayne. My favorite line. And then the other one is Gary Oldman, everyone. When he screams, who do you want us to bring, boss? Everyone. Everyone? Everyone! Like, my brother and I still use that line when we're like, who's going to be at the party? Everyone. Yeah, That's how we do it. All right, now Bob is the question mark here. Because Bob, of all of us, fancies himself not a movie aficionado.
Well, I know he's a Lord of the Rings nut, so he's probably definitely seen all of them.
Are you really? I didn't know that. Is that because you read the books?
No, I think he's teasing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I would honestly buy that.
I didn't read the Lord of the Rings books.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. Like, I haven't read those books, and my kids have religiously. I don't know why they don't. I'm more of I'm not a fiction type of reader that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, the book I'm reading now is really cool.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It was, it was a reporter who covered Gerald Ford during his time as vice president and president. And the title of the book is Write It When I'm Gone. So something happened to the two of them, and Ford said something to him as vice president. No, this is pretty interesting.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Being a former journalist and us being in this business, it is. So Ford said something to him, and the reporter was like, oh, my God. And Ford realized what he said. He was vice president. He basically said, I'm going to be president. They are going to get rid of Nixon. Uh-huh. But he went over to the reporter and, like, grabbed him by the tie and said, don't you print that. You can print it when I die. And so they kind of came to a pact that, okay, every time we talk about stuff, all the off-the-record stuff, I'm gonna write down. But I am going to write a book when you die of all these things. And it's fascinating.
Remember when we did the thing yesterday about, like,
you don't care.
What are they teaching?
You hate books.
I do hate books. But anyway.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
It really is a great... I'm telling you, I sat down yesterday and read like 120 pages. Remember, it was awesome.
Remember when we were like, hey, are they teaching about World War II in school? Remember when we asked that on Tuesday? Like, do you think most kids would know who Gerald Ford was?
Probably not, no.
They would probably ask what position he plays. Like, that's... No, they wouldn't even
know.
He was
a center at Michigan, actually, on the football team.
He was a football... Yeah, he was a football player. Didn't he have like 8 kids in the White House? Didn't he have like a slew of kids? A litter of children?
He did have a lot of kids, yeah.
As I remember that. There you go. Okay. That sounds interesting.
He lost you at the word book.
Yeah, I was like, what, you were reading? And we were texting.
It's so funny because I'm the one that can't sit still to watch movies, hence why you guys always tease me.
Yes.
You can sit and watch movies, but you can't sit and read a book.
I can only read books on planes, trains,
and automobiles.
Beaches, and like select locations.
Yeah, I think I can watch a movie more so now because I can scroll on my phone while I'm doing it. I can do two things at once and still pay
attention.
It's
so funny. I cannot I have real trouble reading a book on a like my iPad or my tablet, whatever.
I don't like that.
I can't do it.
Oh,
I need to have a hard book or a paperback. I need to have it in my hands reading it.
No, that was my problem when I was a kid, that I couldn't sit still. Like even for movies, unless it was Indiana Jones, I was probably not sitting still for it. And that's the guy's honest truth. Reading a book, forget about it. Like, I would try for school.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm bored. I got to do something else.
Yeah, I don't know why I can do it.
Yeah, I can watch. I can watch documentaries. It's weird. I can watch documentaries and sit through like a 2-hour documentary, but I can't. And that's where I get most of my knowledge that I probably should have acquired through reading.
Yeah, that's weird.
No,
yeah,
but anyway, that's how I roll. But you want people to guess how many of these?
So
50
of
movies.
The 50s, how many have I seen? And if you call up on 97.5 Mornings, our Twitter account, tell me what movies you think I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play that game too, Mark. You have the list in front of you. Look at one and say, I bet you've seen... Now, one on there is obvious, because it's the last movie I've seen in the movie theater. Yeah,
that, I know you've seen Titanic.
On the list.
I'm going to assume it's more than one movie. So there you go.
More than one is correct.
So more than one on this list.
Less than 50 is correct.
Good enough for me. So the list is out there if you want to see it. I can call it, and you have a Sixers t-shirt for people. The Phila t-shirt, is that the one?
Yeah.
What color is it, Bob?
I have a red one and I have a white one.
You have
so
two?
Whichever you'd like.
Oh, an option here. Okay, so you can win Bob's t-shirt. He's not wearing
it. I haven't worn it yet. And this is God's honest truth. I found yesterday I saw them. They have been washed because I do have a rule. You never put on a new shirt or whatever without washing it
first. Oh, really?
Do you guys buy clothes and just put them on?
Yep. Not now, but
and I'm not shaming you. I never do that.
No, like
I cannot.
I just bought 3 new golf shirts and they went right in the wash as soon as I got them.
Right.
Because there's a pandemic. But usually, right on the body.
Oh, no. Never.
Usually,
never.
I'm like, this is the cleanest this will ever be, actually, in my house. So I'm just going to put this on and I will wear it out.
I have a phobia of that. I have to throw it in the wash right away. Okay. Try it on. Fine. Fits. Go in the wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm usually fine with it. But nonetheless, we'll open up that. And it's a washed shirt, courtesy
yes.
of Bob Cooney.
It's an extra large.
This is the greatest giveaway in the history. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw in my my Union ears. My Orlando Union ears.
Oh, I didn't get them.
You didn't get these? You got the jacket.
I got the jacket. Yes.
Union. Yeah. No. These are the Union ears.
Because Jamie said something about ears, and I just looked at him like, all right, you're an idiot.
These are game views now. I just put them on. How about that?
Yeah. We need a picture. Let me get a picture.
For all the people
so
on
throw this on
fell over.
Yeah,
for all the people on Twitch, you can see these ears that I'll wear for like the next 5 minutes, just so. We do that. But anyway, so the good people of the Philadelphia Union stopped by yesterday and gave us some swag to help support the beginning of the season. The Union began the season yesterday with a nice little victory there, so that's good to see. Bob, you referenced the mask that was pulled out after the game. Jamie told us yesterday about the players taking a knee before the game and also taking off their Black Lives Matter t-shirts and donned on the back of their jerseys the names of people that have suffered from police brutality and died from police brutality. So Union were taking up that social cause yesterday. Joel Embiid got out of a car yesterday to get on a plane to go to Orlando wearing a hazmat suit. It was a wild day in sports for really only one game taking place. Now, Bob, the other thing that happened yesterday was the basketball tournament is going on.
Yeah.
And you've actually, when you're not reading your many books, you're also you're paying attention to this.
No. Jamie's in. Jamie was 100% in.
You're the one that was in on this 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Johnson played. The best team in the tournament history is called Overseas Elite.
Okay.
They won it like 4 years in a row at one point. And Joe Johnson... Because a couple of their regulars weren't able to play because they're over in Europe and whatever. So Joe Johnson, former NBA 7-time All-Star, played for them this year. So that drew me in big time.
Okay. All right.
Wow, we are hurting for sports.
What?
Oh, Joe Johnson.
I think it's a cool tournament. I've watched it in the past, minus Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
But I turned it on. So we were all texting each other yesterday, and Jamie said he's watching it. And I said to you guys, I'm like, oh, my God, I have a quiet house. I'm sitting around like whatever. So I turned it, and I had the golf on. So then Jamie said he's watching the tournament. So I turned it on, and I saw 9 possessions. This is no lie.
Uh-huh.
9 possessions, 8 of them ended in a three-pointer attempted or made, whatever. And I was like, yeah, I've seen summer league basketball way too many times in my lifetime.
Right.
Click. Yeah, out. Go. Done. It was crap.
So it was a...
Word of the day is crap, by
okay.
the way. Yeah.
I still go with chortle. But anyway, we were discussing this earlier, and we'll continue the conversation today. And really, I think it leads to our Twitter poll. And it comes down to Joel Embiid, because there were some goofy things that took place yesterday, as you might assume. But Joel Embiid got off got out of the car yesterday to get on the plane wearing a hazmat suit and a mask, as one would assume. And then he tweeted out the photo of the food, and he said he's going to lose 50 pounds. And he said, this is what I'm going to look like at the end of the NBA bubble. And it was him when he was like 16 years old at Luka Mbamute's summer camp.
Did you see Guy Fieri chimed in and said, we got to take the NBA to Flavortown?
I did not see that. That's great. But like, here's my question. I see that and I feel good. Like, it inspires confidence from me in Joel Embiid when I see him being goofy. And we talked to Bob, we talked to Mike and Del Ran. Does anybody else look at that and go, okay, great, let's see basketball? Like, does anybody else just blow that off, or do you actually feel good when you see it? When I see Joel Embiid being goofy, I look at it and I find it amusing, and I find it actually inspiring. Like, it inspires confidence in me that Joel Embiid is going to have a good tournament, a good NBA postseason. And all honesty, it does.
How crazy is that?
It's pretty crazy, especially because I'm having this argument or stating this while wearing Mickey Mouse ears, courtesy of the Philadelphia Union.
Yes, I think I put it on Twitter that you had the ears on. But, I love it. I love that he has fun. I'm all about that. Do that. That's great. No side thing here from me. That's awesome. Have fun. Now go kick ass on the basketball court, too. And if this helps you do that, so be it. Wear that in warm-ups. Get a pull-away hazmat suit. Uh-huh. You know, like the rip-off pants that the players wear? Get one of those, like, brrr, and you take it all off right before the game starts. That's great, hysterical, funny. I love it.
Basically, our question is...
Now go kick ass.
Do you play fun police? When you see somebody doing that, are you in the fun police? Like, oh, stop it. Now go down
there. No, and I don't ever want to be that guy.
No, of course not. But that's what it is. Like, sometimes when you see a guy like Joel Embiid having fun, some people just want to go, just play basketball. And, like, I get that. And I was at that point, and if I'm being real, I was at that point when it came to the conversation we had with Tobias Harris before the shutdown when he was on the show. And he even reached out to Joel Embiid after he made comments about possibly leaving Philadelphia. And everyone went, whoa, this might be a little too serious even for Joel Embiid. So that would rub people the wrong way. But when it comes to something like this, where you just see him goofing off again, and I think wholeheartedly trolling Kendrick Perkins, I'm fine with it. And it actually inspires confidence in me that Joel Embiid is going to go there and play well. So do you play fun police, basically, or do you embrace it? Like, when you see Joel Embiid acting goofy like he was yesterday, do you have a positive reaction to it or a negative reaction to
it? I'm good with it.
That's the question. Positive reaction, Bob?
Yeah, I'm having positive reaction.
Would you say positive reaction?
Yeah, okay. I did. Chortle.
Jamie, I already know that you enjoyed every ounce of it.
Yeah, everything.
Very good. Patty,
he tweeted Joel Embiid is the best.
I tweeted he was the MVP, so there we go. Yeah. Look at that. Pat, did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I like fun.
All right, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. That'll be our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Did you have a positive reaction? What was your reaction to Joel Embiid, his actions yesterday? I guess that's the way we say it.
Twitch Ryan hated it.
Twitch Ryan hated it?
Oh, he was always totally...
He's a miserable bastard.
He came in here and he kept mumbling the stupid Joel Embiid.
See, Twitch Ryan is just angry. DJ Bon Bon is a guy that's a fun-loving party
now,
guy.
Now, DJ Bon Bon loves it.
He's a fun-loving, outgoing party guy. That's what he is. DJ Bon Bon embraces it. Like, DJ Bon Bon's a guy that brings us like chicken biscuits from his mom that we enjoy wholeheartedly. Twitch Ryan... He's on it.
He's all about that business.
As a lot of people that comment on our Twitch page, on our Twitch videos, they know. They don't want to catch that fire from Twitch Ryan. 610-632-0975, 610-632. We actually have a giveaway today, folks, and it's courtesy of a one Robert Cooney, who is willing to give you one of two Philadelphia 76ers t-shirts that we gave away on 7-6 Day on Monday. How about that?
That was washed in the Cooney washer and dryer.
Oh, now what kind of...
I do my own wash, so yeah, it was only handled by me.
What kind of fabric softener?
Yeah, I don't put in fabric softener.
I use those New Zealand wool balls.
Those are dumb. Oh, wait, those are for static, though.
Of course you do.
The static stuff, I use Bounce for the static stuff.
Is the way to go.
Yeah.
Those fabric balls, my mother-in-law bought them for us.
Yeah.
I want to throw them away.
I hate it because they always get caught up in the clothes and then you drop them on the floor and they end up all over the place.
Yeah, and the cats start playing with them and then they're just like riddled with cat hair and like, oh, put them back in the dryer. No, how about that?
What kind of detergent are we working with here, Bob?
It's not Tide because one of the kids is allergic. It's something, I know it's the purple thing. I don't know the name of it. I know details. What to grab, though. Yeah.
When we come
I didn't
back,
know it was that important.
What kind of scent?
I don't know. You can smell me during the break if you choose.
I'm good.
All right. It just got weird. When we come back, we're going to cry over JT Realmuto. Time at the Fanatic is 7:24.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I think was at the airport yesterday. Or maybe I'm just putting it in my mind that something happened in an airport that John Clark tweeted something.
If something happened at the airport, he was there.
Probably. But then he might also have been at Citizens Bank Park. By the way, did you see him tweet a photo of himself checking into Citizens Bank Park with like the fever scanner? This is our new norm.
Yeah.
So I want to ask him about going into CBP to watch some of the Phillies as well. And I told him, I was like, yeah, John, just love to get you on. I want to have some fun on a Friday after a very heavy week of, you know, talking about Hitler and stuff. What do they have some fun on a Friday? So that's why we're talking some movies today. There's also a TV show that's come back on Netflix that I am just thrilled that it's actually come back. New version of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a new version.
Wait a second. I did see this morning, I think. Do you want to reveal it now, or you want to wait till later? Yeah,
not quite yet.
Okay.
But we will talk some Phillies, talk some Sixers with John Clark.
I know
as well.
Is, yeah.
We'll cover the whole gambit with John, because John's a versatile man.
Yeah, he is.
Here's the deal. We're all paying attention to what Matt Klentak and the Phillies are trying to do right now with JT Realmuto. They're trying to get a deal done. And the important thing is, from 10 days ago almost now, Matt Klentak came out and said, that's a different landscape. Basically, when we talk about inspiring confidence, like we just were with Joel Embiid and being funny, I wanted at least the general manager to tell us that they're going to get a deal done. We want this player. We're going to do everything in power to keep this player and all that stuff. I don't expect him to say, hey, here's what we offered. But at least make me feel confident afterwards that you're going to sign this guy that you've already invested heavily in when you consider the pitching prospect you gave up to get him. Your number one pitching prospect you gave up in order to bring JT Realmuto here. And Jorge Alfaro, he ain't terrible either.
He's not
JT Realmuto by any means. He's not some scrub, is my point. So you're already playing with fire if you decide that you can't bring in JT Realmuto because of the quote-unquote different landscape that baseball has right now with new budgetary restrictions.
Yeah, it's all a lie.
I hope so. I hope it's a lie so that they could just sign JT Realmuto and stop making me worry about it.
So I'm to believe that the majority of these owners are billionaires. Yes.
Yeah. And how'd they get there?
And they've had 17 consecutive seasons in a row of record-setting profit boosts.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
You said 17 consecutive in a row.
Well, Bob, I'm not done my coffee. Just lay off.
He came in hot today, Bob. Let's not forget
17
that.
Consecutive seasons of record profits.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm to believe one shortened season washes that all away, and you have to change. No, you're using a pandemic to squash the market.
Well,
stop.
40% of our
crap
revenue and income.
Nobody believes you.
Ticket sales.
Open your books.
Concession. Yeah.
Prove it.
Concession. You know, when Jamie brought that up, and it was great, he brought that up about a month ago, saying 17 consecutive years of record profits.
Uh-huh.
I was like, damn. It was one of the, when he brought that up, I said, oh my God. And then Scherzer came out like the day later. Open your books.
We don't believe you.
Right. Exactly, James. Like, exactly. We don't believe you. Shut up.
It doesn't matter.
No, you're right. They're the ones that control the market because they can.
Right.
Using a pandemic to say you're not going to pay an elite player in the league is it makes me want to vomit one Citizens Bank way.
But this is why it worries me so much. There's the
I didn't want to vomit in here. That wouldn't send a message.
Well, thanks for helping us out. You know, thanks for being a real team guy. Thanks for placing your vomit in a different area. But here's why it bothers me more so. Because if the Phillies stick to this story, if this is their story and they're sticking to it, JT Realmuto is in the midst of playing his last season in Philadelphia for however long the 60-game season is supposed to last. Like, given the pandemic, I understand a 60-game season is supposed to last that. But we all know the uncertainty that everything is, the fluid situation, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
I'm still like, even I say all that, I'm still like 90% confident that he returns.
Okay, see, I dropped much lower than that.
Because I was
at 100% confident that they'll do it. And here's the scary line that made me drop down to like 75% confident that he's going to be a Philly. He acknowledged yesterday during this Zoom call, JT Realmuto with reporters, when he hears his general manager talk about the different landscape, he says, it definitely concerns me. I'm getting this from Jim Salisbury's story, by the way, on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Necessarily not for myself, but it does concern me for the free agent class as a whole. I mentioned a few months back that the top guys usually find a way to get their dollars. A few months ago was right before the pandemic hit. Teams are going to want them, you know, maybe it's not 20 teams that are going to be in on you. Maybe it's down to 5 or 10 teams that are going to be in on you. I just think that a lot of teams will be able to look at this as a time to take advantage and actually go for it instead of backing off. he's acknowledging that the market might be shrunk a little bit from like 20 teams to 10 teams. But still, even if there's two teams.
Hey, that was going to be my line. It only takes one.
Even if there's one other team that really wants JT Realmuto.
They'll probably play at Fenway Park.
A little bit more than the Phillies, then guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
JT Realmuto ain't going to be here no more. And you're going to have given up your top pitching prospect. You're also going to have given up a decent catcher. Nothing great, but still a guy that I wouldn't be pissed off if he was still behind the plate for you. If JT Realmuto wasn't here and Jorge Alfaro. You move on from these guys and you get a season and a half of JT Realmuto. Oh, yeah, that ain't going to be a good look.
No.
Matt Klentak, you got to get this done. John Middleton, you got to get this done. If it comes down to money, this is something that has to get done.
Yeah, and it comes to what is your game plan here? Like, what are you doing? I mean, is it a win now atmosphere? Is it a you signed to Bryce Harper just to hold on to one of the better players in the league to make your organization relevant?
Mm-hmm.
But you, at the same time, you're not looking to really go all in and win. You have the best catcher in baseball. He wants to be here. You have the money to pay him. I understand, you know, you want to negotiate. You're not spending the stupid money. But what exactly are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just, like, trying to be relevant? Or Zach Wheeler, you bring in, like, a number two, maybe a number three pitcher. You know, are you just doing the outskirts? Didi Gregorius is a guy for on a one-year deal, a prove-it deal. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Are you all in, or are you just, like, trying to just maybe stay a little bit relevant?
Are we out of stupid money? Like, that's my question.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. As far as what you were saying...
Does it look like stupid money to you?
As far as Bryce Harper goes, here's the one thing... And it's a big thing, but here's the one thing Bryce Harper guarantees you when you pay $330 million.
Oh, yeah. It's a big part of why you pay somebody that money.
Well, it's the marketing. No matter what, Bryce Harper's on your team. Like, that
I was
makes
gonna
you
say,
relevant throughout
I was thinking
baseball.
An opposite. I thought you were going an opposite way. He's going to be in there... demanding the best from them.
Oh, no, yeah, and it's shouting out of the dugout, sign him, certainly goes along
wearing the Realmuto jersey, buddy-buddy with him. He's going to fight for... we can get on the radio and bitch and complain and moan as much as we want, and Middleton probably doesn't care. I will puke on One Citizens Bank way, though, John. But if Bryce Harper's in there fighting for Realmuto, it's better than anything you could ask for.
Right.
He's JT's agent.
At this point, I don't disagree with that. But the other thing is, if you're John Middleton, are people going to call you cheap if you paid somebody $330 million?
Yes.
In this city, yeah.
Yeah.
But where Bryce Harper really hits home is the money he'll generate from outside the market. Like, think about that in baseball.
They probably made half his contract back in Fanatic sales last year.
Probably, because he's wearing headbands and shoes and stirrups.
He's their mannequin.
And socks. Yeah, pretty much. He's a mannequin that plays. You know what I mean? Like, he's a great bargain if you think about it. Like, if people want to talk about Patrick Mahomes' deal, like, you get the Bryce Harper, the back end of that contract, you're doing okay. You're getting, like, what, $25 million? By then, that'll be nothing in the year, what, 2033 or whatever the hell it is?
Yeah.
Like, you can be John Middleton. You can sign Bryce Harper. You can look like the guy that got the number one target of that offseason, right? Him and Manny Machado. And then you could go the rest of the way and be like, what are you going to do, call me cheap? I signed a guy to like the biggest contract in baseball at the time before Mike Trout quickly eclipsed it like a month or so later. But if you're JT Realmuto and you're a guy that even Bryce Harper's in the office and on the field screaming for you to sign if you're John Middleton, but if you're JT Realmuto... You might look at this team and go, well, they got their prize possession in Bryce Harper. That ain't me. Another team's going to treat me like that prize possession. I'm going to go out and be that guy. Because they already have top dollar for Bryce Harper. JT Realmuto is going to go out and get a deal that people thought was groundbreaking, what, 10 years ago with Joe Mauer at $21 million a year?
Yeah.
He's going to eclipse that. And if the Phillies aren't willing to give him that money, he's gone. Again, he is acknowledging, and this is what was so worrisome yesterday, listening to JT Realmuto speak about this, was that he understands the market isn't going to be as competitive as it would have been with no pandemic, where you might have 20 Major League Baseball teams going after you. He understands it might be down to even 5. But again, it only takes one other team to put money in front of him more than the Phillies, and he could go, yeah, that might be a better option.
You know, you have the line, Mark, that you like to say a lot is, what exactly is it you do here?
Yeah, right.
So, to John Middleton, I do. I want to say, what exactly...
Line,
I know, I said Mark uses it a lot.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't say made it up, James.
Totally original. My original thoughts.
So to John Middleton, I would be like, what exactly are you looking to do here? Like, what is your plan? What is the game plan? That's great you go out and get a Bryce Harper and stuff. To me, that was the beginning of, okay, here it comes. You can't go out and get a marquee player and spend all that money and settle. Is that what he's doing? Is it like, we did that, but we can't do other things because we did that? You can't go out and spend that kind of money and not surround him with the talent to win something. I don't know. I don't know exactly what their thinking is here. Like, okay, you spent some money on Zach Wheeler. Great. But if we're going to be all honest, he's a questionable number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. He's coming off surgery. He missed 2 years. You just don't really know what he is. What else have you done? You know, like I said earlier, you spent a one-year contract on a prove-it deal for Gregorius. Segura's almost up. You know, you brought in McCutcheon, who's 33 years old. Like, what are you doing here? I think it's a staple. You have to have that catcher, especially with a young pitching staff. It's a no-brainer.
Like, the amount of impact he has on the game is tremendous. Like, when you're a great catcher, like, you can help team win championships.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that goes without saying. You're a great player. You can help a team win championships. But the impact you can have, like, Carlos Ruiz wasn't, like, the greatest catcher ever, but damn, he knew how to handle a pitching staff.
And he was senior October.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, Roy Halladay, like, the first person he talked to after after pitching the perfect game was, I just want to say Chooch is the man.
Yeah.
And Chooch caught how many, 3 no-hitters in his career?
He has great fingers. He had great fingers.
Magic fingers. Magic fingers. You might even be saying.
Yeah. He had pretty good fingers today.
But think about the pitching staff that won in 2008, mainly because of how great the lineup was. But Chooch knew how to handle that pitching staff.
Oh, yeah.
He got the best out of Brett Myers. Certainly got the best out of whatever was left from Jamie Moyer. Like, that's good catchers can have that impact. That goes without saying.
Kyle Kendrick
is another one.
Yeah, he had a great year that year.
Think about that for a second, right? And now look at the best catcher in baseball. JT Realmuto, your lone all-star last year. He won his first gold glove of it playing for you. The way you can handle your pitching staff, the one that you're trying to invest money in, but you don't have that much money in him. Like, it's a great deal. And to have Bryce Harper, to have JT Realmuto on this roster makes you feel so much better about the Phillies lineup in general. And it makes you feel so much better about the Phillies rotation because you know they have a backstop that knows what the hell he's doing. Like you want to talk about comparisons with the guy they got rid of, like Jorge Alfaro? Jorge Alfaro didn't know how to manage a pitching staff, and he was a younger guy.
He was a horrible defensive catcher.
Yeah, he had a rocket arm, but as you said, Bob, like, you didn't know where it was going.
Yeah.
Like 4 out of every 10 throws to second base were, like, in center field. Like, that's what it made you feel like when you were watching him. But with JT Realmuto, you don't even have to bang the drum for him. You shouldn't have to bang the drum for him. And I don't want to hear anything about a change in landscape because you set the landscape 2 years ago when you traded for him. When you said, thanks, but no thanks, Sixto Sanchez, you're expendable. Thanks, Jorge Alfaro, you moved on from him. But mainly your number one pitching prospect. You should have already had a deal in place to bring, like, to extend him.
Yeah.
And the fact that the $2.5 million at arbitration is what, $2.4 million is what separated you from actually creating some more goodwill is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing you had to go there and say and give reasons why you didn't want to give him that extra $2.4 million. I mean, here's an unbelievably great defensive catcher, an obvious team leader who had another really solid year at the plate, labeled the best catcher in baseball. And you had to go to an arbitrator and say what you didn't like about him.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's the business, Bob.
It's the business.
Oh, that's the business.
No question. At some point, you have to raise your hands and say, you know what? You win. Here. I don't know why they couldn't have done that.
You know what? Maybe you just throw it back in the Phillies' face at this point and just say, well, hey, you guys want to talk about crying poor? You guys want to cry poor? You already saved $2.4 million and you're not giving it to JT Realmuto. So now's the time to pony up, boys.
Right. If they don't get it done, which I do think they will, it'll be probably the biggest turnoff that organization has ever given me as a fan.
All right. I'm gonna
and that's not dramatic.
Well, no, what's dramatic is you vomiting on One Citizens Bank Way.
Nah, that's just don't make me do it.
Is it One Citizens Bank Way or One Citizens Way?
I think it's Citizens Bank Way.
I mean, that would make more sense. That's pretty stadium. Sure.
But it would be a giant middle finger right in front of my face.
You know what, JT? Here's what we're going to do. Instead of giving you like $25 million, we're going to give you like $17 million, and we're going to name the parkway after it. Okay. Well, no, all right. Bob, I'm going to take a guess as to one of the movies you have not seen on this top 50 list here.
All right, wait. Let's go. Don't be random. Let's go top or out of the first 10, let's say.
Out of the first 10?
Yeah, so let's go. on the list, go to the top, because I have them labeled here. Go to the top 10. All right.
A list, a movie you have not seen in the top 10 of this list?
Yes.
I'm going to say you have not seen The Matrix. That comes in at number 7.
Mark?
You have not seen The Matrix.
He's seen it.
That comes in at number 7. You've seen The Matrix?
You're correct. I have not seen The Matrix.
Oh.
Yeah.
Telling you right now.
Very good.
All right. I'll take a stab in the top 10 as well here, Bob.
Okay.
You have not seen Inception.
Ooh. See, I would guess that he has seen Inception.
Jamie, you are correct.
Oh, my God. It's a thinking man's movie. You're asleep, and you're sleeping, and you fight a war or something like that. I would think you would see that movie.
Why is our reaction to movies always that?
Because,
like, this has fascinated me now.
This is the top 50 most commonly watched movies.
I know why.
No, that when you haven't seen one, it's like, what? You haven't seen?
Yeah, I
know why. Like, I had this conversation. My buddy, who used to work at Blockbuster Video, my buddy Andy Campbell, shout out, you know, rest in peace. We had this conversation. And it's because I have experienced something that has impacted my thought process in my life that you have not.
Inception definitely impacted the way I thought.
But, like, even Shawshank.
Yeah.
Movies like that, like Godfather. Like, there's, like, the in our minds.
The Matrix is a put your mind in a pretzel.
Every time I bite into a steak, I'm like, is this real? Thank you, Joey Pants, for that. But no, like, you have this, we have this experience.
But there's many things in life that you've experienced or I've experienced that you haven't or I haven't.
But not everything.
And it doesn't shock me that you haven't experienced that.
But not everything is as easy as, like, put this movie in this machine and you watch it.
Yeah, 2 hours of your life is a pebble of sand.
Readily of it.
No, not really. See, that's to me, it's not.
Yeah.
All right.
See, it's not.
Like, in your mind, movies you've seen doesn't apply to, like, you'll see something and it'll trigger that memory of watching that movie. Oh, it's like that movie.
You remember where you were.
Am I missing something? Like, yeah, yeah. I don't think I'm... I don't. Like, I got with somebody this week. They put it perfectly. He doesn't like to sleep. I don't like to sleep. His line was, I don't know why I have to conform to so-called normality from society saying you need to sleep 8 hours a day. He sleeps like 3 or 4 hours a day. That's it.
Good for him.
And his whole thing was, why do I have to live life the way people, you know, tell me to? And he said to me, you had a great line to me. And he called me when I turned 50 and said, you know, hey, happy birthday, 50 years old. I said, yeah, all that means is if I conform to society, I've slept 17 and a half years. At 50 years old, if you sleep 8 hours a day, you've slept 17 and a half years.
Sounds awesome.
That's a waste to me.
I agree.
Honest to God. Like, I'm not saying I'm right.
That's unhealthy.
Watching something for 2 hours that I'm going to come away going, that sucked, is such a waste of time. And it makes me anxious. And it gets me angry.
Don't watch sucky movies.
Yeah.
You don't know until it's over. But if you're like me, you quit after 18 minutes and 38 seconds like I did for Eurovision the other night.
I think you need to give it a second chance. All right.
I'm not giving Eurovision a second chance.
Being out on the elves is a little anti-elvish. And in this world today, I don't think you could be anti-elf.
So one elf.
What did you do after you clicked off Eurovision? Like, if you're going to go on this highbrow attitude of...
It
is highbrow. Because you're sitting here saying, I'm not going to waste my time. But if you just sat there and
I'm
phone,
not being snotty about
you
it.
You are being snotty.
No, I'm not. It's just this inner feeling of, oh, my God, I just wasted time doing something that I didn't enjoy. Yeah, that bothers me.
So what'd you do?
When I turned off Eurovisions...
I played Angry Birds.
I think I went upstairs and watched.
Candy Crush.
No, I know exactly what I did. It was Sunday night, so I went upstairs to get ready for and I turned on Wicked Tuna, which I enjoy immensely.
Not a waste of time at all.
Wicked Tuna.
Not a waste of time.
You didn't even watch Meat Eater, Bob?
Sunday night, I did not.
That shows you survival skills.
So does Wicked Tuna. Survivor skills out on the water.
All you gotta do is cast a rod, you're fine, you're good to go. But anyway, I get that, and I understand that there's people that don't like movies for that same thing. It's the same, like, the reason that people don't like video games is because they feel like it's just a time drain.
Now
you can get scholarships for video games. So
I know, right?
who's the loser now, Mom? Anyway, but like that to me, I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Well, it goes. I've said this story. It goes back to when I was 11 years old. I went to a movie one afternoon during the summer, and it was pouring rain out.
Yes,
there's a movie theater right near our house. We went to the movies. We walked out, and it was total sunshine. And I got that lump in my throat that you used to get when you were a little kid and you got angry, like you get that angry. I was mad that I was sitting in a movie theater when I could have been outside playing basketball.
Oh. Yeah, but how was Debbie Duck
from
Dallas?
Then it was actually, you know, the movie it was Jaws. And that took that away, didn't it?
The porn Jaws?
Heels.
We're going to need a bigger something.
Draws, I believe, is the porn version of that, as a matter of fact. Same music, though. Same music, if you can believe it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We have a giveaway today, folks. It's one of Bob Cooney's Sixers t-shirts that we gave away on 7-6 Monday. It's been washed. No fabric softener. Sorry.
And we don't know the scent.
We don't know the scent that he uses. But if you can guess the amount of movies of the 50 put out yesterday by Bobby Belt of NFL Network, who released the most searched movies on IMDb, the amount of movies on this 50, a list of 50 that Bob has seen, you'll win yourself a t-shirt.
We have a non-washed Cooney House shirt available as well. So you can have your choice. The unwashed one or the washed shirt from the Cooney House.
Okay.
So it's up to you. Dealer's choice.
Oh, wow. All right. Play with fire.
What a prize.
By the way, Ricky Pitalico is supporting you, Bob. He just texted me, said, leave Cooney alone. Go Wicked Tuna.
Coach Camille just texted me saying, I love Wicked Tuna.
Nothing against Wicked Tuna.
It's awesome.
But just get on their high horse.
No, but you're acting like you're sitting there, like, I don't know, whittling wood.
Smoking a pipe in your library, reading over your many books.
Why? Because I said I didn't like Eurovisions? Like, there's nothing better in life to do than watching Eurovisions?
Bob, hey, you're on another strategy.
Yeah, I'm a snob because I didn't like Eurovision.
I just took it as a personal attack.
Two of you labeled as an awful movie.
Well, no, we didn't.
No.
We said stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But stupid's
I got
fun.
My adjectives messed up.
Stupid's
a stupid
fun.
Movie.
Yeah, then I'll probably watch again at some point.
No, you won't.
Yeah, we'll put it on.
Yeah, I'll put it on. There you go.
I've been bumping the soundtrack for a week.
When we come back, we'll figure out what's wrong with Joel Embiid, according to some people. Time at the Fanatic, 7:53.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.